to draw together despite all odds. Yeah. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm trying to figure out how to set my notes up without making you guys disappear or something crazy like that. So I think I'll do that. So trying to meet over the airways is an adventure, as we've seen already. I praise God that the natural drift that can happen because we don't have our Sunday routine or Monday routine or Wednesday routine and all that good stuff. We're going to have to work a little harder trying to stick together to be family, to look in on each other. Mm-hmm. We're also going to have to push ourselves to reach out and to be wanting to be reached, right? I mean, some of us can go undercover and disappear. And we don't want that for anybody, especially during this time where there's so much fear about coronavirus. We want to keep tabs on each other. So I don't know how many people actually listened to the sermon last week. And this week, I know people have been trying to connect in and we probably lost some. But I want to encourage us to press on, press through. You guys know how much I hate technology, and this is giving me the heebie-jeebies, but it's the way for now. Yeah. And so regardless, I think that as fellow believers, we encourage each other to press on, to not buckle, right? No matter what gets thrown at us, it's like, okay, we can do this. So with that, who knows what passage of scripture we've been soaking in as a church body?
Oh.
Yeah, somebody said it. Thank you, Jill. Good job. And I'm sure all the rest of you guys knew it's Romans 12. And I have to be honest, I've been soaking in it for a very long time. And it is a challenge for me. The things that come up, I take it seriously when I read in the Bible that God is speaking to me, that the things that he says in there, they're not just for a time past. That is for me and for me now. And I have to confess that Romans 12 has some very difficult things and I don't have it all together. Just a fellow traveler. So as we continue our journey through Romans 12, Romans 12 verses 14 through 16. If you have your phones or Bibles, take a look, because that's what we're going to be talking about in these little few moments. Okay. I put three different versions to share with you of these verses. So the first is from the NIV. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That was Romans 12, 14, and 16, the NIV. The next version, wish good for those who harm you. Wish them well and do not curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and be sad with those who are sad. Live in peace with each other. Do not be proud, but make friends with those who seem unimportant. do not think how smart you are. That's the New Century Version. And then the last one, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Let's pray.
There we are. I see you. There you are. Hi, Tony, Vic, and Judy here.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Tony.
We're just getting ready to pray.
I'm just going to mute you, Tony, because we're just going to pray. Is that right?
Okay.
Lord God, I pray that you help us to hear you speaking to us through these verses. Bless our efforts to hear you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The verses above these verses, are all talking about the Christian life, how we live together. I just lost all my notes. Okay. The verses above, discuss life in the body, how we live together, how we do life together. How we're supposed to be one. For people with a Western mindset and Western traditions, this is difficult. But that's why we need our minds renewed. We're not supposed to conform to the patterns of this world. Verse 14 says, wish good for those who harm you. Wish them well and do not curse them. When you hear that, how does that make you feel? Makes me sick to my stomach. It makes my head hurt. The thing we love about God is that he throws our sin as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. He also calls us to love our enemies. Wish good for those who harm you. Who wants to do that? It's like everything inside me cries out, no, no, I don't want to do that. Who wants to do that? Christians. Those who call themselves Christians. Those who've been transformed by the renewing of their minds. That is, should include us. I have to repent every day regarding this command. I don't want to wish good for those who persecute me. I want to wish bad on them. I want to say, like, make it happen to them. But then I remember that God says, forgive them. Love them. And I repent. every day I have to repent. The people who persecute us are not just the people outside. Sometimes it's people in the church, in our own families. I want to take a little side note and say, many of us are jealous people. We're jealous of our brothers and sisters. Being jealous does not bring life. It tears you down as a person. It tears other people down. Jealousy is bad. God is trying to save us from ourselves. And we need to listen. That was a side note. Okay. If jealous people surround you, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray for them. Ask God to bless them. Wish good for those who harm you. Wish them well and do not curse them. These are the words of God. And the reason it's difficult for us to take it in, to say, yeah, that's the greatest thing ever. It feels so life-giving, is because it's supernatural. Vengeance, revenge, that's normal. That's natural. But to wish well on those who do not wish you well, that is not normal. It is not natural. And we need God to be able to do it. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he invites us to do the same. Because it's life-giving. Rwanda is our big example right now of seeing this as a whole country takes this on. Horrible slaughter took place, and they have been encouraged as the Christians among them say, forgive. And the whole country has put this into practice now. And they are seeing rebirth among their communities. They're seeing lives changed. That's not natural. It's supernatural. And that's our God. He's saying, don't be stuck. We're going to see that sign, right? He's saying, don't be stuck in that place, right? Of unforgiveness, of hatred. And the amazing thing is God can bring healing. I don't know how he does it, but he does. And Rwanda, like I said, they're amazing. And they're experiencing it because they've given themselves over to God's way. Prayer matters. Prayer matters. Prayer is just talking to God. Inviting him in, asking him to do it, to help you. Does it have to be special? Yeah. Simple. Help. Help, God. Help. Okay? This past week, I was told a story about a man who was 92 years old, trying to pick up something, like a loaf of bread in the grocery store. And another guy with a big cart cuts in front of him because the lines are too long, yeah? Doesn't want to wait. After the guy with the big cart buys his groceries, he turns around and he buys the old man's one item. And the old man thanks him and goes on. There was no shouting, no hysterics, nothing. And I thought, wow, that old guy extended grace to this one who was behaving horribly. He left that store with dignity. He left that store without holding a grudge. He left that store by blessing the one who had done wrong to him by receiving his gift. If that had been me, I would have made such a mess. I would have been like, oh my gosh, can you believe what this guy is doing? I would have been like, how rude. And then I would have left that store with a grudge. And I would not have received his bread gift. This 92-year-old man did what God would have wanted in this time where people will behave crazily, where people will do things that are not in their right mind because they're stressed, because they're nervous, because they're afraid. It's a time and an opportunity to practice what God has given us. I'm not saying that, oh yeah, simple. Go ahead, do that. For myself, I'm speaking. I know it's hard. I just think, Father, have mercy. Wow. But I praise him for the examples. His, but there's real people walking this earth right now that have on flesh and bones that are doing the things that he called us to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be happy with those who are happy and be sad with those who are sad. Mm-hmm. Another thing that could sound maybe easy for some, harder for others. In this season, I think it's very important. We're self-isolating. When we're left alone with ourselves, Lord knows what could happen. Festering of all sorts. Help us. God is speaking to us about our disposition of being haters. A hater in the common vernacular is a person who can't be happy for others. They're people who want to see others fail and take joy in seeing or hearing the mishap of others. We know as Christians that's not right. But the longer we're without, or the longer that somebody else gets and we don't have, this evil grows in us. And it is evil. It's not from God. This is not God's way at all. If someone gets a job and we didn't, celebrate with them anyway. Allow their blessing to be something that draws you to God. I see your faithfulness in so-and-so's life, Lord. You know my desire. If I'm asking in your will, please bring it to pass for me too. There's nothing wrong with that. You can pray that. Or, you know my desire, and I want to be happy for so-and-so. But you know, I've wanted this for my own life as well. And you've been slow to bring it. Give me peace and understanding as I wait. If you're calling me to something else, help me to know what it is. Those are right, holy, good things. But being a hater is not. Holy is not good. To be happy with those who are happy. Don't be fake. Don't be false. Don't be a hypocrite. But push yourself, right? We don't want to be stuck in those places. If we feel like I could never do that, I could never be happy for someone else when I'm not getting what I want, It's time to repent. It's time for us to say, help me, Lord. I'm in the horrible pit in the miry clay. I need your help. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to save me. Invite other people in to pray for you, right? Praise God, we're not alone. Told you Romans 12 was hard. Rejoice with those who rejoice. If we can rejoice with those who rejoice, if we don't have something to be happy about, look for somebody who's happy about something. Take your eyes off yourself and take a look outward. Allow yourself to be lifted up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. Now, when it says be sad with those who are sad, sometimes we run from people who are sad. We're like, oh, I don't want to be brought down by them, or I don't want to, you know, they have negative energy or whatever. There's all kinds of things we say. And it's true, right? But during this coronavirus time, especially the self-isolation, God says, walk with those who are sad.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
We won't get taken down. You come in with the Lord, with the love and the light. He's the bright morning star. You come and you listen. Doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they're said. I was saying something silly one day, and Steve Colby said, that's not true. I said, I hate everything. He goes, you do not. And I started laughing, because I don't. But it's like when people are sad, sometimes they just need to share the burden, right? During this time, people are losing loved ones. People are just feeling loss of community and connectedness. Some are losing jobs. And just the loss of like a normal life. So be sad with those who are sad. We're to walk together, help carry each other's burdens. And during this time, to try to especially figure out how to do that in a helpful way, meaning not telling a person everything that they're saying is true or things are never going to get better. It's not like that, but to be sometimes just to be present. And being present means being present, not distracted. Be sad with those who are sad. Okay, let's see if I can get my notes back good. All right. I don't know if there's a way for us to do special things for each other during this time, but if there is, let's do it, right? I know people are taking care of their neighbors and stuff like that in some kind of cutesy ways. That's nice. I think little special things are important right now just to keep people's eyes, head lifted up, right? What I do know is that even though we can't hug each other, I heard that the wink is the new hug. No. You guys get the point. We don't leave sad people to fend for themselves. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You won't even recognize yourself. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. The next verse 16 says, live in harmony with each other. Living in harmony with each other does not include ghosting on each other. Quite the opposite, really. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. These two things are very helpful. If we think our opinion is better than everybody else's, it causes us to look down on folks. If we think our way is the only way, there's no room for the other person. Again, during this time, we want to draw people to ourselves. We want to embrace each other, be welcoming. Again, we're not saying be false or be hypocritical. Don't lie. But Barry and I used to argue about breakfast cereal. It's like, okay, there's some things that, yes, we do need to argue about. And it doesn't mean don't argue. Harmony isn't about not disagreeing. But you can disagree harmoniously. You don't tear the other person down. And if you're trying to be in a chat room or Zoom room, do a lot of listening. Encourage each other. Say, how do we do life together right now? We say we eat together. We eat in front of each other, yeah? Sing together, kind of. We have to mute and do it. Study the Bible together. Some people say they can watch a movie together. I don't know. But whatever it is, lean toward each other, right? Try to figure out, especially if you're a super opinionated person, maybe I need to pull that down for a little bit, right? Calm it down and actually give space to another. That's what God's called us to. Jesus Christ was the one who made humility a virtue. It wasn't before him. And I think in this day and age, it's kind of lost some of its shine. Especially again in the Western world. But for those of us who call ourselves Christians, we're called to that. I hope you're not feeling beaten up or pressed down. None of this is possible without Jesus. We have to call on him and invite him in to change us, to renew our minds, right? We want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So we open our hearts, our minds, our spirit to the one who is life giver. And we say, help. Right? He's showing us what life can look like, even during coronavirus time, right? Harmony is not people pleasing. I wanted to just saying yes to everything and that kind of thing. People pleasing is not honest. Usually we do it because we're trying to stay out of trouble. We're trying to win approval. That's not the life God wants for us either. So when we say live in harmony, it's doing life together, walking in humility, being a good listener, but it's not being a yes person. Okay? So if you tend to be a yes person, stop it. If you're a person who wants people to be yes people, stop it. Okay. We're going to have to embrace some new ways of living. For me, technology is new. Sharing our love language. Maybe developing some new ones. In a little bit, we're supposed to break up into groups and pray for one another. If you have creative ideas on how we do life together in this season especially, share them. Share them. God has given us creativity, ingenuity. Share. Lord, I just pray that your words are getting through. Your words bring life. You said that we would be known by our love for one another, that we are your disciples. Help us to lean into you, to want to have our minds renewed, that we might be transformed. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.